Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Luke chapter 15, verse 31. This is just a review. I know we said it last time. You know, we looked at the prodigal son. But Luke 15, 31, and he said to him, son, this is the father speaking to the older son, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. And we know that the father here is a type of God, and we are his children. And a lot of times there are two types of Christians in the family of God. There's those Christians that just waste everything God gives them. They take it, and they waste it. And then there's Christians that they defer taking the things that God has for them, even though they hope to someday have it. And they just keep putting it off. Just keep putting it off to someday. Someday. Waiting for something to happen to cause these things to come into their life from God, when in fact it's already there in the house. It's already in their lives. They already have these things readily available for them to enjoy, but they're not enjoying the things that God has for them, even though the things are there all around them and a part of their life. We looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, there is one alone. There is one alone without companion. No friends. He has neither son nor brother. Yet there's no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? He never stops and asks. What am I doing? What am I doing every day? Why do I deprive myself of good? He never asks himself that question. This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. Now, if you look at that, just the opening statement here in Ecclesiastes 4:8, it says, there is one alone without companion. He's got no friends. Has anybody ever felt lonely before? Anybody felt lonely? I feel so lonely, you know? Like there's just nobody. There's nobody that understands. There's nobody that cares. I mean, it's just you against the world. Right? There's nobody else. That's kind of bizarre because currently there's a world population of over 7.55 billion people. No, let's just stop thinking about this. There's a world population of 7.55 billion people in the world. How can anybody feel alone? Huh? And yet people feel lonely all the time, don't they? There's nobody. There's nobody that cares. There's nobody. That's a deception. There are many somebodies all around you all the time, but you're alone. You're isolated. You're in your own world. There's lots of people like this. It says, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. He's working. He's making money. He's got not just money. He's got riches. Riches. But yet, he's still not satisfied because he doesn't see what he has in his life. He's got to keep making more. He's got to keep getting more because he does not see the riches that he has available to him to enjoy. So he's not enjoying what he has because he's not stopping and asking, why would I be alone with millions and billions of people around me all the time? Why would I be alone? Why would I not be enjoying myself when I have all these riches? I have all these good things. And yet I feel so deprived of good. Proverbs chapter 18, 1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. See, he's not walking in wisdom. He has no light, even though there's light all around him. He can't see very far. He rages against all wise judgment. He whines, he complains, he's an angry guy, because he's lonely. Nothing works out for him. Nobody understands him. He has nothing. He's been robbed in life. He's been robbed. He's been cheated. He could have had it so much better. Things could have been so much better for him, but now they've turned out this way. I've been robbed. I've been cheated in life. And so he just rages. But he rages against all wise judgment. In other words, it's not wisdom. He's not seeing clearly. He's not judging himself. He's not judging his life correctly. He has no wisdom. How many people know your answers are all around you? Your answers are around you. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. In other words, it doesn't sound like it's too hard to get some wisdom. It's not too hard to get some answers. I just don't know. And yet wisdom's calling out. People think they're calling out to God. God's calling out to them. People are wondering, you know, about things. They need wisdom, and, you know, wisdom's screaming in their ear. Hey! Their answers, in other words. Their answers, that's what we're talking about, wisdom. Your answer is screaming in your ear. It's amazing how something can be screaming in your ear and you don't hear. See, we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about being spiritually deaf. There's a lot of spiritually deaf, dumb, blind people who can hear and see perfectly well with their physical eyes and their physical ears. But yet, they're blind and they are deaf. Wisdom is all around. Wisdom is all around. I think of the angels in heaven. Isaiah went up to heaven and he saw the angels and saw the throne of God and the angels of God. And one of the angels cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. His glory. What's that? That's the awesomeness of the Almighty, the manifested beauty, majesty, power, splendor of the Almighty. Whole earth is full of it. Whole earth is full of every good thing, man. The whole earth is full of it. I'm not just talking about in the unseen realm. It's right here. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his goodness. The whole earth is full. Everybody say full. Full of abundant life, abundant provision, great things. And yet, many times mankind is not seeing what the angel is seeing, what the angels of God are seeing. We need to start seeing from a heavenly perspective. We need to have our spiritual eyes open so that we can see clearly what's all around us. Because when we can see what's clearly all around us and hear what's all around us, our answers, wisdom, then it becomes easy to access it. It becomes easy to lay hold of it and enjoy it. But if we keep thinking it's far away, it has never come to pass, I've never seen it happen. Meanwhile, it's happening all the time. It's there right in your midst, then that deception will keep you from enjoying all the riches and all the blessings and all the abundance that's right here with you right now. Wisdom's talking. People's answers are going forth. God's getting answers to us all the time if we're paying attention. Like I said, what Oral Roberts used to say, he said, you're either experiencing a miracle or one is passing you by. You're experiencing a blessing, we could say, or a blessing's passing you by, or you're passing it by. It's all around you. It's it, whatever it is that you desire, it's all around you. Lots of good things all around us all the time. Wisdom calls aloud, verse 20. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. See, now there's the problem. The problem isn't there's a lack of answers. There's no lack, friend, in life. When God created the earth, when he put you in it, when he put man in it, there was no lack. And there still is no lack to this day. Now, we live in a society today that does not believe in God. And of course, the Bible says the fool says in his heart that there is no God. So we live in a society full of fools. Lots of fools that deny the very existence of God. And these are the same people that are so blind. They're so blind, they're so deaf, that they walk around fearful that we're running out of trees on planet Earth. I mean, they can't see the forest through the trees. Are you hearing me? They can't see the forest through the trees. I mean, they're so blind. We're running out of trees. Stop cutting down trees. We're running out of clean air. You gotta watch. One more smokestack could do us all in. Not enough fish in the sea. Killing all the fish in the sea. We're eating all the fish in the sea. I mean, there's so many regulations in New York. I mean, last time I went to New York and attempted to go fishing, it was with my dad actually out on his boat. I mean, we caught some perfectly good fish that, nope, not big enough. I mean, big thing, throw it back in. You get in big trouble. Get a fine, get arrested if you take a fish that's too big. You know, because we're killing all the fish in the sea. You know? These things are monsters. No, it's not big enough. I mean, you got to like catch Jonah's whale. I mean, the regulations are crazy. I mean, there's a lack of everything according to some of these people. Of course, there's a lack of money. There's a lack of living space. I mean, the population, you know, you got to cut down on the population. In China, they only allow, I think, one child per family. Can you imagine that? If you have more than one child, you're in big trouble. Get heavily taxed, and who knows what else could happen to you if you have another child. You only have one child because of population. See, so these people believe, they believe the planet's overcrowded. There's not enough room. There's not enough room. And meanwhile, hypothetically speaking, they say that you can fit the entire world population in Texas. You can look it up yourself. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? There's plenty of room, folks. There's plenty of room, plenty of water, plenty of trees, plenty of air. It's okay. We're going to make it through this thing. But lack, not enough. See, that's what people are hearing all the time, all from the blind and the deaf, the deniers of God, those that are extremely foolish, that cannot hear wisdom's voice. Wisdom is here. Wisdom is talking to us all the time, telling us right here. It's right here in the ground around you. He says over in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 23, he says, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice, there is waste. Notice this statement, much food, much. Everybody say much. See, there's much all around you. much of what you need. Hear these poor folks say, there's not enough food. There's not enough food. No, it's all, it's in the ground all around you. But you don't have any wisdom. You're blind, you're deaf, you don't know what to do with what's right there in front of you. And folks are starving to death when their answer is right there in front of them. And that's not just limited to the poor. That's limited to the pathetic. That's not limited to the poor. It also includes the pathetic. Because there's a lot of folks with pathetic thinking, pathetic living. They think that their life's going under. Their life's so terrible that they can't enjoy themselves. They can't enjoy anything because life is so hard. Life is so rough. But if you go back there to Proverbs chapter 1 again, talking about wisdom crying out, verse 22 says, how long, you see, it's not about God giving us the answer. It's all about us hearing. It's all about us receiving. It's all about us taking it. Taking what? Taking whatever you have need of that's right there all around you all the time. It's not far from any one of us. God's not far from any one of us. Verse 22, he says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning. Notice that. Scorners delight in their scorning. So wisdom's crying out. They're not getting it. They're not hearing it. Why? Because they're scorners. They're scorners. People scorn the very things they are wanting. They are scorning the very wisdom that they're wanting. What do you mean? They're despising it. They're treating it lightly. They're not taking it seriously. They're scorning it. We got an example of it over in 1 Kings. Let's look at some example of some scorners who had provision right there, but their scorning was keeping them from their supply, the supply of what they needed. 1 Kings chapter 17. The prophet Elijah was in a time of famine. And he was directed by the Spirit of God to go to a certain woman's house to get some food. This famine had been going on for a number of years. And so rivers, creeks had dried up. Crops had withered. Animals had died. I mean, things were in a very bad situation. But in that situation, the prophet Elijah, being led by the wisdom of God, goes over to this woman's house. And we pick it up here in 1 Kings 17 and in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink it. This is the woman. God says, go to this woman. She's going to provide for you. She's got your provision. She's got your provision. Give me a little water. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Then she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now notice what she says. She says, I don't have any bread. Isn't that what she said? I don't have any bread. That's what she said. I don't have anything. I don't have any bread. And yet, she had all the ingredients for what she needed and what he wanted right there in her midst. She had all the ingredients. See, the ingredients are the things that we're hoping for and expecting from God is around us all the time. Wisdom will help us put the ingredients together. But you see, I don't have any bread. I don't have any bread. Now, Elijah at this point could have said, Lord, what in the world? You said this woman's going to provide for me. And she ain't got nothing. She ain't got nothing. But did she have something? She did have something, but yet she said she didn't have it. Isn't that what she said? She said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil. See, she's treating what she does have with scorn. She's treating it lightly. She's saying, I only have this. Well, what did he ask for? He asked for a little bread. And she says, I don't have bread. I only have this. That's where a lot of folks are in life. I don't have any money. I don't have any time. I don't have any friends. I only. You know, you try to point out to someone, well, now wait a second, you have this. I only have this. I only have this much left. I only have this much. I've only had this. I've never had that. They're scorning. They're scorning what they have. They're despising it. They're treating it lightly. And that will keep them from being able to walk in more of what they have. Verse 13, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. That's a big thing. Do not fear. Do not fear. See, people have a fear mentality, not a faith mentality. Fear walks around thinking lack. Fear walks around thinking about what it doesn't have and what it's running out of and what it won't have tomorrow. That's how fear thinks. Faith thinks about what it has. Faith thinks about what it has, and it's excited about what it's going to have tomorrow. Hallelujah, because faith is full of hope. It's excited about tomorrow, and it sees perfectly well what it has today. And it's enjoying every bit of it. The more we grow in faith, the more we're going to enjoy every bit of the things that God has provided for us. The more we're going to enjoy every bit of life. The more we're going to enjoy every day. Every bit of every moment of every day, the more we grow in faith, because that's how faith is. But fear can't see very far. Fear's thinking about what it doesn't have, what it should have had, and what it's running out of, and what it probably won't have later. That's how fear talks. So he said, get out of fear. He said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. Now, this is an extreme situation, but it illustrates a very common problem, something that people deal with all the time. People talk like this woman about a whole host of things in their life all the time. They're negative. They think about what they don't have, what they're running out of, what they need, what they've always wanted, never got, and what they're probably gonna lose tomorrow. See, that's where a lot of folks are. They're just like this woman. And they're not seeing that the ingredients for all the great things that they desire and want are right there in their midst, right there at hand. But they're not utilizing it, they're scorning it. Talking negative. I only have that. Negative about what they have. So this is an extreme situation, yet it perfectly illustrates common everyday life for a lot of people that aren't living by faith, but are walking in fear, walking in the flesh. Verse 14, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Somebody say, my provision will never dry up. I mean, that's why he shows us these extreme cases. You know, like the children of Israel in a desert. They come out of Egypt, they're in a desert. They're in a desert. And yet for 40 years they got food, drink, shelter. I mean, they're taken care of. for 40 years in a desert. God shows us these extreme conditions to show us there's no problem, folks. I can take care of you. I can set a feast for you out here in a desert. I can provide for you anywhere and at any time. He can do it. There's plenty of water in the earth. God can find it. Even if he has to split open a rock. There's plenty of chicken out there. He can make it fly in all the way from Egypt over your house and die of exhaustion right there on your grill. You know what I'm saying? It's here. It's all around us. If he can take care of these extreme situations, should we ever be talking negative? Should we ever be talking lack? Should they have been talking lack in the wilderness, which is a desert? Should they have been talking lack in the desert? Is it right for us to expect better things from them than what we see? What did we see? Murmuring, complaining, whining, what they don't have. They're going to die of thirst. They're going to die of hunger. I mean, is it wrong for us to expect better things from them than that? No. No, we should expect better things from them than that. Well, then how much more should you expect better things from yourself, Mr. Promise, Mrs. Promised Land Dweller? Because I got news for you. You're in the promised land. You're in the milk and honey, honey. You are in it. If you're in America, you're in it. I got good news for you. You're already there. You're already enjoying an abundant life. You're already enjoying abundant provision. It's all around you all the time. You're right in the middle of it. And yet, a lot of folks sound just like these wilderness wanderers. Whining and complaining. Discouraged. They got so discouraged. They ran out of provision. They didn't know what they were going to do. They got so discouraged. They were so depressed. They were so worried. You think they had a right to be that way? No. They had no right to be that way. And you never have a right to be that way. If you are that way, you are deceived. Now, I know people don't like to hear that necessarily, but if you want to get free and walk, free, then you're going to have to accept the fact that if you're depressed, you're deceived. It's not because your life is so bad. It's because your thinking is so stinking. Because your life is so good. It is ridiculous for you to have a day of depression. For you to be disheartened and discouraged about your life. That's deception. That's a deceived heart. That's a deceived mind. That's going blind. That's losing your ability to see, losing your ability to hear what is right in your face, in your ears, all around you, all the time. 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha came across a woman whose creditors were coming. And these creditors were not nice. She wasn't able to pay her bills. Her husband had died. She didn't know how to get out of her financial crisis. She cried out to the man of God for help. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, it says in verse 2, so Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Nothing in the house. There's probably a big pause, I'd imagine, probably between that. That's probably where she probably said that 3 or 4 times. There's nothing in the house. There's nothing, 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 nothing. Well, I mean, there is this little jar of oil. Sweetie, that is something. But you see, there's nothing in the house. That's her first words to him. What do you have in the house? Nothing. There's nothing in the house. And I guarantee you there's a whole lot more than a little jar of oil. I guarantee you there was more than a jar of oil in the house. It was a house. Had to be a few more things in the house. But there's nothing. That's where a lot of people are. There's nothing. There's nothing. I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I don't have anything. But a jar of oil. Scorning. She's scorning the jar of oil. She's scorning what she has. So he just had a jar of oil to work with. And praise God, he said, great, we've got a jar of oil. And through that jar of oil, she was able to pay off all her debt, get completely out of it, be completely debt-free, and live in retirement. She never had to work another day in her life. She was able to live off of what that little jar of oil produced. And she went from poverty, she went from major crisis, major debt, to complete financial freedom. Just like that. And meanwhile, the ingredients to her miracle was right there in her midst. What you have need of is right in your midst. God says to Moses, Moses, you're going to go in there to Egypt and you're going to deliver my people out of the hands of Pharaoh. He's like, Lord, I don't have a military. I don't have anything. How am I going to do that? And God says, what's that in your hand? That's a rod. That could be a good weapon. Let's start with that. Let's start with the rod. He had what it took. Let's ask ourselves that question. What do I have in my house? Rather than just keep saying what you don't have or what you say you don't have because you're scorning what you have. I don't have, and we never have, and we never, and we're running out of, and what about, and we can't even. Okay, scorner, we understand that. Stop delight, and people do, they delight in their scorning. You notice that? They like that. They delight in talking about what they don't have, what they're running out of, and they never have. It's like self-pity. You know, people listen to all kinds of negative music and stuff like that. It's like people like depression. There's a little rush to it. Right? They got this, music called the blues. It makes people blue. Makes them sad. Right? They like that. They like that. A lot of folks love country music. I didn't know a thing about that growing up. But when I moved down here, you know. And people love their country music, man. And how they lost their spouse and lost their dog and their horse got killed. I'm just talking about the lyrics to the song, you know. But then there's this thing called backmasking. Have you heard of backmasking where they play the music backwards? They play the music backwards and there's like there's a message in the music when you play backwards. I hear that when you play country music backwards, you get your horse back, you get your wife back, you get your kids back, you get everything back that you lost. Amen. But people see it's a rush. It's a rush. They delight in their scorning. They delight in that you feel a little fleshy. You feel a little negative. You know, you come into the house and you rant about what you don't have, what we don't have, what everybody's spending, what everybody's losing, what we don't have. Are you kidding? What are you kids doing? You know, you hold the door open, the kids holding the door open outside a little bit too long. You think, what am I doing? Heating the outdoors? There's bills, kids. There's bills. Lots and lots of bills. Do I look like I live in Beverly Hills? No, I got bills. That's where a lot of folks are stuck, right? Talking about the bills. 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 Working. They're working so hard. And all they have to show for is bills. I don't have any money left for myself after I pay these bills. All these bills. People see and talk the bills. instead of seeing and talking the pleasures they're spending on themselves that's causing those bills. So you're talking about the bill. They're not talking about what the bills are producing. All the things they want. But they don't talk about what they want. They don't talk about what they have. See, they have all these things as a result of spending money. But all they see is having bills. They don't see having things. They see themselves having bills. How many people know you have utility bills? Because you have utility blessings. Yes. Oh, the utilities. Oh, the blessings. Huh? See, people just want to talk about the utility bills, the water bill, the electric bill. They say things like, I'm just making enough to survive. Just making enough to survive. How many people feel like, you're not going to raise your hand, but you would have if this wasn't a message and I was just visiting your house. I'm just making enough to survive. Yeah, then what's all that junk food you're eating? You think that's survival food? It's amazing. They're just making enough to survive. And meanwhile, what's the junk food? Is that survival food? I never saw that in the survival packet. No, you love the pleasure of eating it. And you spend money to eat it and enjoy it. But you're not talking about the enjoyment of eating the junk food. You're talking about the bills, the living, the survival mode that you're in. We're just making ends meet. We're just making ends meet. How many people ever said that before? I know you won't raise your hand. What does that mean? To make ends meet. To have only enough money to buy what you need to live. To have only enough, I'm talking about to make ends meet. People use that all the time. They're just, that's all they're earning. It's to make ends meet. Well, that means you have only enough money to buy what you need to live. To have just enough money to pay for things you need. But what do you really just need to live? What do you really need to just live? Huh? Just a little water, right? Just a little water a day. For one, when we're talking about water, you need a little water to live. So you don't need to have this great abundant supply of water that you're having delivered daily to your home every day through the water company. That's your water bill. Paying the water bill is not so you could survive. There's plenty of ponds and rivers where you could find water and boil it and survive. There's plenty of places in the world where they don't have water being piped into their home with the option of hot or cold or warm. Plenty of places in the world that don't. You're living in the promised land. See, you're complaining about a water bill, but you are spending money on yourself to have an abundant supply of unlimited water flowing right into your home 24/7. Wow. You are a blessed human being. You're a very blessed human being. But if you're just earning enough to survive, get rid of the water bill. See, you're not earning just enough to survive. You're earning enough to have an abundant supply, an over like too much supply of water. And you don't need soft drinks either. Or $5 lattes. I know, you just have enough to survive. I understand that. Somehow, all these survival people have these cups with this weird woman picture on it. They got these little, everybody's got a Starbucks. Isn't that something? Survive? We're just making enough to survive. You kids want, you each want a cappuccino? Like they're not wired enough already. Just some potatoes, some kale, and some nuts, a little water, and you will survive just fine. Maybe find a little locust and wild honey, and you'll do just fine. But no, you're not just making enough to survive. I said, you're not just making enough to survive. People won't even fast a day to allow themselves to be deprived of food, yet talk like they're so deprived of things. They're so deprived of things. People are not deprived. They're overindulging themselves on plenty of things. Now, we're talking about survivalists. So you do not need that electricity that's coming into your home either. You don't need to pay for an electric bill because you're just earning enough to survive. So you can't afford an electric bill because you don't need electricity to survive. Did you know that? You know, for thousands of years, they did not have electricity and they survived. Generation after generation, it's a miracle. It's an amazing thing. All you need is some matches and wood and you'll survive just fine. That's all you need. Matches and wood, you'll do great. Keep you warm and everything. You can cook your food, the whole thing. Your potatoes and your kale over your streamed water. You're just making enough to survive. Now, if you're just living to survive, then you do not need a vehicle. You do not need a vehicle. I'm just trying to put things in perspective for you tonight. You do not need a vehicle. You can move around enough to survive without even a bicycle. You could do it. You can make it. People have done it for a long time. But you know, people won't even deprive themselves of a cell phone for a week. I mean, people lose their cell phone coverage for just like an hour. I got to go to AT&T. I got to go to the store really quick. I got to get this fixed. It's broken. My screen cracked. I can't see. My Lord, I can't see. My iPhone screen cracked. Okay, it's going to be all right. You can take the day off. Go get it fixed. See, people don't deprive themselves of things all the time. People are living in abundant, overflowing, too much life right now. And yet they think they're living in lack, waiting for an abundant life from God.
I've been hearing about abundant life. I've been hearing preaching on abundant life and abundant provision and all these things, wealth and riches and all these things. And I got nothing.
You're deceived. You're blind. Because you're blessed. And you just don't know it. And the more you don't recognize what you have and keep talking the bills and not the blessing, the more you lose what you have. Right? Because to him who has more will be given, but to him who does not have, of course he has, but he doesn't think he has, even what he has will be taken from him. It'll be stolen from you. The devil will come and take it from you because you're walking around saying you don't have it anyway. So it's easy for the devil to take things from people's lives when they're walking around saying they don't have it anyway. But if we start walking around being thankful and praising God for all the good things that we have, for this abundant life that he has provided for us, when we begin to walk around testifying of all the great things that we have, oh man, it's going to be hard for the devil to stop us from increasing. We shall increase more and more and more and more. Can you say amen? Praise God. Now see, this problem that people have, it goes all the way back to the beginning with Adam and Eve. There they were in the promised land. I'm talking the Garden of Eden. I'm talking about paradise. I mean, they're in there. They got everything. And God says, now, stay away from this tree. But of all these trees in the garden, you could freely eat. And they lost sight of all the trees of the garden. They could freely eat. And they went into what they didn't have. Now, they can have anything, but they went right into what they didn't have. They focused on what they didn't, with the help of a serpent possessed of the devil. They focused in on what they didn't have. I mean, this problem goes all the way back to the beginning. In other words, this is the beginning of all man's problems. So if you can get what's being said tonight, if you can get this wisdom, this answer tonight, then it's the answer to all your problems. And you will find that oops, here I am in the garden with all the provision and all the things that I have need of in life freely available to me all the time. But they didn't see it. All they could see is what they didn't have. And you know what? Because they sat there and said, they kept looking at the tree that God said, don't bother with that one. You can have all these other trees. I'm so hungry. That tree looks so good for eating. Hey, take a break. Come over here and have some bananas. You know, eat something else for a little while, honey. Why can't we have that tree? Why can't that fruit look so good? Oh, I want some of that fruit. God never lets us have that fruit. I come by here every day, and I'm working out here tilling the garden, and I got to look at that tree, and I can't have even a piece of it. I bet you God's eating of the tree. I saw a monkey in the tree the other day. Monkeys get to eat the tree, and I don't. Everybody gets to eat from the tree except us. Now they're just walking around thinking about what they don't have. You know, they're hungry. They can't have that tree. They can't have any fruit on that tree. And they lost the whole thing. They lost the whole garden. Lost the whole garden. Because instead of being thankful for what they did have, they just thought about what they didn't have. When they really did have it, but it was in the form of other trees. See what I'm saying? They had their provision all around them all the time. It was there. And so they end up losing the whole thing. People are in that mode right now all the time. That's where they are. It's time to come out of that mode and start saying, what's in my house? What's in my garage? What's in my this? What's in my that? Start acknowledging what you have. Stop being thankful. Start listening. Hey, wait, wisdom's talking right now. Shh. Let's turn off the rap music and let's get quiet. We might be able to hear something because it's being broadcasted all the time. Wisdom's going forth. Our answers are around us all the time. There's no reason for people to be stupid. There's no reason for people to be ignorant. There's no reason for people to be in lack. There's no reason for people to walk around with a victim mentality, walk around feeling like they've been robbed in life. Well, this happened to me. Yeah, well, let's talk about all the other things that have happened to you. What other things have happened to you since that happened to you? No, we just want to focus on this happened to you. And now you're this pitiful person living a pitiful life. You don't even know why you're here anymore. Why am I here anymore? I'm just ready to go home and be with Jesus. Like one lady, she had a bumper sticker on a car. It said, beam me up, Jesus. Beam me up, Jesus. She thought he was Captain Kirk. Beam me up, Jesus. Too much Star Trek. Too much Star Trek. That's half the problem. But that's another message. Beam me up, Jesus. Like, get me out of here. Just get me out of here. What a deception. What a terrible lie to be believing when you're living in a blessed land and there's so many blessings going on in your life, but you want to whine and complain and kick the cat because of what you think you don't have, simply because you're not walking around praising God for all the other trees in the garden, all the things you have access to, all the good things you have. Oh, man, there's so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for, so much to stay alive for. So much for us to do. So much for us to enjoy in life. Praise God. So many wonderful blessings. So much. We are overflowing with them, friends. Overflowing with them. Already. That's a good place to start right there. I said it's a good place to start right there. We're overflowing. People are in a catch-22 crisis. That's where they are. They're in a catch-22 crisis. You say, what is a catch-22? Catch-22, the definition is, it's a situation in which a desired outcome or solution is impossible to attain because of a set inherently illogical rules or condition. A set of inherently illogical rules or conditions. Therefore, what they want to attain is impossible. Another definition. A contradictory or self-defeating course of action. People are contradicting themselves all the time. Saying things like, they don't believe they have any money. I don't have any time. I don't have any money to do anything great for myself right now. While at the same time, they're spending their money and time doing things for themselves right now. You're doing things for yourself all the time. And yet people think, I never have enough to do for me. Everything you do is for you. People are self-indulging while feeling self-pity for themselves. You're spending and being spent for yourself, but yet don't have enough to spend for yourself. See, it's a contradiction. It's a catch-22. It's illogical. It's a contradictory or self-defeating course of action or thinking. You're bending over backwards to please yourself, but thinking like you're working like a slave for someone else or just to survive. It's a contradiction. It's a catch-22 crisis. People are drowning in blessings rather than standing in them. People are drooling for the very thing they're already drowning in. It's a catch-22 crisis. And it's time to get out of it. It's an illogical contradiction. It's self-defeating. It's keeping people from being able to attain the things that they have around them all the time. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah, we are loaded down with blessings.
Woo! That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.